Imagine what it would have been like to seen Jesus. Not a kinder person walked the face of the earth. And the world was evil in his day too. And they crucified the kindest man that ever was. We too, though, have Jesus living in our hearts. So like David was trying to tell us, huh? We better be loving one another with the love of Christ. We've been talking about Luke, and I had a little visit with some people the other day. And I said, I wonder what it would have been like being Luke, coming in to Jerusalem, where all these events took place, where Jesus was crucified, and you know, we know what we read in Scripture. And then he has the opportunity, because he never knew Jesus, I mean, seen Jesus on earth. He knew him as a Savior, of course. What would it have been like to have the opportunity to interview these people, turn to Luke 1, and have a little, more than just a little, a long conversation with them? And what would be the questions you would ask these people? What was he like? I mean, is there any way to describe it? You know? And so we got to interview Jesus' mother. She's the one that gave all the information that we find in the first two chapters of Luke, at least, maybe some other information. And I had you turn to Luke 1 for a reason. We read this quite frequently, but the first four verses is really one sentence. It's Luke explaining why he wrote Luke. And it says, "Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order," in order would be like in a chronological order, "a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us." The "they" that delivered them to us, he tells who they were here next, "which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word." So he got to interview eyewitnesses of Jesus and ministers of the word of Jesus. He writes, "It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, from the before the birth of John the Baptist, clear up until the time he wrote to when Paul was in prison 2 years there at the end of Acts, to write unto thee in order," again, "most excellent Theophilus," that chief man from Antioch in Syria, "that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed," and wherein also Luke had been instructed. And so we've been talking about that for since the middle of spring, I think. You'd have to look online to see how many lessons we've done on Luke so far. And there's a lot of things that Luke reveals that nobody else in Scripture does. And so that's why we're studying about it a little bit. And so we've spent, in the last few weeks, several Sunday schools talking about the differences between the kingdom apostles and the church apostles. And most people don't know that difference between a kingdom apostle and a church apostle. But we do, and we pointed it out. And if you are lost, go back and review online the Sunday school lessons. They're there. Some of them are the print version of my notes is in there up to about 2 weeks ago. And the difference was the church apostles taught Paul's gospel message, which the Lord Jesus Christ gave the apostle Paul to preach. And this is the gospel message for this yet present church age. And as you know, Paul's gospel message was primarily unto the Gentiles. As Romans 11:13 states, Paul writes, "For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office." So I'm not making this stuff up. This is all in the Bible. And then we talked about how Paul and the other church apostles, like Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and Titus and those guys, they also preached about the kingdom of God on earth. That was a common theme that both the church apostles and the kingdom apostles taught. And that was also the same message that Jesus preached. And it was the same doctrine that was taught by the kingdom apostles, but they were sent unto the children of Israel. The kingdom apostles did not preach anything of Paul's gospel because they were not given Paul's gospel message to preach during this church age. And so we found that Paul's gospel message went way beyond preaching the kingdom of God on earth. For Paul also preached what we know of Christ's heavenly kingdom. He preached about the gospel of his glory. He preached about meeting the Lord in the air. He also preached and taught about reigning with Christ as joint heirs. And we were instructed by the Apostle Paul to follow Paul as he followed Christ in his pursuit of pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that was what Paul wrote in Philippians 3:14. Luke, being a follower of the Apostle Paul, one of his closest followers, and recall, we know very little about Luke other than what Paul wrote in three different verses. And he was with him at the end. Only Luke is with me. It's 2 Timothy 4:11. Luke, being a follower of the Apostle Paul, was very familiar with Paul's gospel message that was written unto the Gentiles of this church age. The kingdom apostles who were sent into the children of Israel didn't know Paul's gospel message. Thus, they couldn't teach Paul's gospel message. Read the last few verses of 2 Peter, I think it's the third chapter, and you'll see that Peter even mentions it. He said many things hard to be understood because they weren't revealed to him. We know that Luke lived at the beginning of the church age, and we learned in our lessons that he mentioned more about the kingdom of God than all the other authors of scripture combined. Luke wrote the phrase, the kingdom of God, 33 times in Luke and 7 times in Acts. So that's 40 times of a total of 70 times that you find the phrase, the kingdom of God in scripture. Of the 33 times Luke wrote the phrase, the kingdom of God in the gospel according to Luke, 26 of these times Luke was quoting the words of Jesus. What did Jesus preach? He preached about the kingdom of God. And the number 26, incidentally, is the number that points to the gospel or the good news of the gospel. What do you think Jesus preached? The good news of the gospel. Jesus said in Luke 4:43, go ahead and turn over there. You'll find this in the middle of the verse. Jesus said in Luke 4:43, I must preach the kingdom of God. And then in Luke 9:1, and we've talked about these things in lessons past, but we're just doing a little quick review. In 9:1 of Luke, Jesus had called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure disease. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then go over to Acts, the first chapter, real quick. And we mentioned this also earlier, that after his resurrection, Jesus and his disciples, and some of them were his kingdom apostles that were sent by Jesus unto the Jews to preach the kingdom of God, they were once again written about by Luke in Acts 1. And in Acts 1:3, we read this, to whom he, that is Jesus, showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And this is the first time of seven in Acts where Luke writes of the kingdom of God. And we also pointed out in these lessons earlier that Luke wrote in Acts about the Apostle Paul, quite a bit about him, who was a church apostle. And along the way, Luke was one of Paul's traveling companions. And the Apostle Paul also preached about the kingdom of God, and Luke wrote about this five times of Paul preaching about the kingdom of God in the book of Acts. And then if you'll look that phrase, the kingdom of God, up, you'll find that the Apostle Paul wrote this eight times in his epistles. So again, eight is a number, among other things, associated with the bride of Christ. And we pointed this out also while we were studying this, that the Lamb's wife will reign with Christ in the kingdom of God during the millennium. And I hope we've got a little better understanding of this as we've gone over this. The purpose of noting Luke's mentioning about the kingdom of God more than any other gospel writer was to point out Luke's understanding of what both Jesus and Paul taught concerning the kingdom of God. And so we learned a little bit about Luke's character by studying all these things. And in studying Luke's character, we have found that Luke also wrote more about the Holy Ghost than all the other authors of Scripture combined. We mentioned, I think, that Luke referenced the Holy Ghost 11 times in the book of Luke and 42 times in Acts, for a total of 53 times. In total, you'll find the term Holy Ghost 90 times in Scripture. So if Luke wrote 53 of these, he wrote more than half of those verses, didn't he? And the mighty power of the Holy Ghost is magnified in Luke's writings. And the mighty power of the Holy Ghost, we must realize, was also amplified in Luke's own life. Now, among these 53 verses where we find the phrase, the term Holy Ghost, we find what I'm going to call a Lukeism. What's a Lukeism? It's something that would be unique to Luke, only Luke wrote about. And I'll give you some verses here. Go back to Luke 4 for the first one. And this Lukeism is the phrase, full of the Holy Ghost. Now, Luke wrote that phrase. And I think it, did I mention how many times? It's four times. The phrase, full of the Holy Ghost, describes some full overcomers. Of course, the first one would be Jesus. And what do you think? The bride of Christ, will she be full of the Holy Ghost too? It'll be like him, right? Okay, think about that for yourself. Okay, now, Jesus was an overcomer, and I'll give you this. In John 16:33, we find Jesus' words. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Anybody not found that to be true? In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Let's put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did overcome the world. And Luke wrote in Luke 4:1 this, and this is before Jesus began preaching, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And then at the conclusion of this temptation, we read in Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. He returned in the power of the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, in other words, still. Okay, the second time we find the phrase full of the Holy Ghost is in Acts 6:3. Why don't you turn there? I'm having you turn there so I can get a drink. I'm a little foggy this morning. And this scripture in Acts 6:3 is in reference to the seven men chosen in Acts 6. And it says in verse 3 of Acts 6, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. If you were going to hire somebody, these would be good qualifications, wouldn't it? Pretty rare to find in today's world. Seven men of honest report. Let's start there. Full of the Holy Ghost, in wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. Two of those men we know more about than anybody else. One was Philip the Evangelist, one of my favorite characters in Scripture, and Stephen, another of my favorite characters in Scripture, along with most all the other characters in Scripture. Excuse me. And, you know, when Luke wrote this, he'd already got to meet Philip the Evangelist and stay with him in his house. So he knew him. And he knew him to be a man full of the Holy Ghost. And he had four daughters who did prophesy. You remember that in Acts 21? Okay. So Paul and his company with Luke was part of that, stayed with Philip the Evangelist in Acts 21:8-9. And most of the information that Luke obtained for writing the book of Luke came from the time when Paul was in prison in Caesarea. After he was arrested in Jerusalem, he was held there for 2 years, but Luke wasn't arrested. He was free to come and go. And so he got a chance to interview these people, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, and these that were ministers of the word. So he probably further got to interview Philip the evangelist during the 2 years Paul was in prison at Caesarea, because Philip the evangelist lived there, and the governor didn't forbid him to have any of his company come and visit him, you know, during that time. So no doubt Luke and Philip the evangelist at the same time visited Paul while he was in prison. So go over to Acts 7:55. Here we find the third reference of the phrase "full of the Holy Ghost." And it was at the conclusion of Stephen's sermon. And Luke writes this about Stephen: "But he," Stephen, "being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Now, Luke never met Stephen, but the Holy Ghost revealed to Luke what words he should write. And one of the things was to note especially that he was full of the Holy Ghost. The final time we find the phrase "full of the Holy Ghost" is in Acts 11:24. So these are Lukeisms, this phrase "full of the Holy Ghost." And in 11:24 of Acts, the reference is to Barnabas before he came a church apostle. And it says in Acts 11:24, "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." This is talking about the church in Antioch in Syria. And so that was the first time Barnabas visited Antioch in Syria before even Paul had visited Antioch. And if you read on, you'll find that in this portion is when it is Luke who tells us that Barnabas, full of the Holy Ghost, went to Tarsus to seek for Saul of Tarsus. And I doubt if it was too hard to find him. And then he brought him with him to Antioch in Syria. And the rest is history. But who wrote that history? It was Luke. Okay. One of the other things that we've talked about, and and we've kind of hinted at this, but we're going to look at it in a little more detail here in a little bit, that Luke was led of the Holy Ghost himself to record several sermons, both in Luke and also in Acts. We'll talk about this. Another thing I found interesting, that of the 27 verses in Scripture where we read the word preaching, Luke wrote 13 of them. Now, it's interesting, the number 27 has to do with the preaching of the gospel. So, it all ties together. How many books are in the New Testament? 300? 400? 27? 27 books in the New Testament. What are they there for? The preaching of the gospel. 27 also happens to be the product of 3 times 9. 3 is the number associated with the Holy Spirit, another name for the Holy Ghost. 9 is the number pointing to finality or divine completeness. The final touches in a full overcomer can only be divinely completed by the Holy Ghost. True, effective preaching of the gospel must be inspired by the Holy Ghost. Our brother Luke recorded several Holy Ghost-inspired sermons where the preaching of the gospel, spiritually speaking, turned the world upside down. You'll find that in Acts 17:6. So, one of the characteristics of Luke that we must note is that he truly loved the preaching of the gospel by men full of the Holy Ghost. And so do I, and so do you. And thank God the Holy Ghost inspired Luke to record the preaching of the gospel and the Holy Ghost inspired sermons. He recorded both in Luke and in Acts. And I had some people look up in their little concordances in their electronic devices of the day to look up the word sermon. You're not going to find the word sermon in Scripture. But Luke recorded several sermons in the two books that he wrote. And these were sermons that we otherwise wouldn't have. And I'm trying to focus our attention on the things that are pretty exclusive to Luke, you know. The question comes up about what Luke wrote concerning the sermons he recorded and the many testimonies that he wrote. And this question is, where did he get all of this information? He wasn't there to hear a lot of these sermons, like the Sermon of Stephen, sermons of Jesus. Where did he get all this information? And again, we read that earlier this morning. Information came from eyewitnesses and ministers of the Lord, and ministers of the Word, whom Luke got to interview during his 2 years that he was in Jerusalem while Paul was prisoner at Caesarea. And we'll get to some sermons of Jesus recorded in Luke here in a little bit, if we don't run out of time. And some of these sermons are only recorded in Scripture by Luke. And some of the main eyewitnesses to the sermons Jesus preached were his mother Mary, and in most instances, his disciples, some of whom became kingdom apostles. And of course, we know the kingdom apostles certainly were ministers of the word and were among the people whom Luke got to interview while in Jerusalem. Go back to Luke 8. We'll get there in a minute. The next question that comes up is, how many sermons did Luke record? Well, for starters, he records the preaching of John the Baptist in Luke 3, 1 through 18. We find Jesus' first sermon in Luke 4, 16 through 30. And then we find the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached in Luke 6, 20 through 49. And there's another thing that comes up within this sermon. We find the first of 18 parables that Luke records. And some of them are unique only to Luke, his record. A parable is not a sermon in itself, but rather a short story that teaches a moral or a spiritual lesson. And the master teacher, who was Jesus, he was the best parable teacher. And So I had you turn to Luke 8. Let's read verses 1 through 3, I think. And it came to pass that after he went through every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, here we go again, and the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Jonah the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. So here we find that Jesus went about preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Go over to Luke 9:11. There we read, and the people, when they knew it, followed him and received them. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Did he heal only the believers? It says he had healed them that had need of healing. Now, was this a sermon? Well, this went on all day. Okay. And this is where the 5 loaves and the 2 small fishes fed the 5,000 plus, and the fragments that remained afterward filled 12 baskets. So this was indeed a sermon this day, followed by numerous miracles. In Luke 9:46 through 48, we find the Sermon on the Child, which is also recorded in Matthew 18, 1 through 10, and in Mark 9:33 through 37. So far, we have made a reference to 6 sermons that are recorded in Luke. In Luke 11:29, we find this statement in the middle of the verse. When the people were gathered thick together, Jesus preached another sermon. And then in Luke 21, you'll find that Jesus taught his disciples what is called the Olivet Discourse. So we're now up to 8 sermons, by my count, that are found in Luke, that Luke recorded, and I may have missed some. In Luke 24, after his resurrection, verse 27, we find that Jesus truly preached to the 2 Emmaus disciples. Luke 24:27 says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, basically the Old Testament, Jesus expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That was a sermon. Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way? That was a sermon. In all good Holy Ghost inspired preaching, expounds the scriptures. And Jesus was the example of this. So, in addition to these 9 sermons we found in Luke, that I found in Luke, in the book of Acts, Luke continues to record some sermons. Some of the sermons were preached by the apostles, and some were preached by others like Stephen. And then we find also in Acts 1, verses 4 through 9, Jesus' last short sermon preached here on earth after his resurrection. And we, earlier in this study, a couple months ago, went over 6 sermons that Peter preached, recorded by Luke in the book of Acts. We mentioned the sermon in Acts 7, that Stephen preached to the Sanhedrin Council. And we found also earlier four sermons that Paul preached that are recorded in Acts. And we may have missed a couple in our counting of this too. I'll give you some verses to read up on this. The first best sermon probably is in Acts 13, 15 through 41, the first sermon of the Apostle Paul that we have a record of in Scripture. Acts 13, 51 through 41. The sermon he preached on Mars Hill is in Acts 17, 22 through 31. And then we have the sermon to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verses 16 through 38. And then the last one that we looked at was the sermon he preached to the Jews in Rome in Acts 28, 23 through 31. I think we've given you a lot of things to think about here this morning. Lord willing, if he tarries that long and we gather again, we'll get into Jesus' sermon in the fourth chapter of Luke. So you might be looking that over.